Father, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we stand in awe at your wondrous ways. We stand in awe, Lord, at your creation. And Lord, we just thank you that we can be part of you. Lord, we just thank you that we can have eternal life. We thank you that you care and that you watch over us. And in all things, Lord, let us understand your plan. Let us understand your purposes to conform us more into the image of Jesus Christ. And Lord, may we always yield ourselves to you in faith and faithfulness, running the race to the end. And we ask you for the strength to do that, Lord. Open our eyes to your word and bless us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we continue with our study of Job. And we're going to be looking at Bildad, Zophar, and Job's response. Bildad, Zophar, and Job's response. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the disasters of Job, how Satan was given permission by God to put Job through a really great test and an affliction. And after Job had lost everything, he went and sat in silence in the ash heap with three friends for 7 days and seven nights. And last week we looked at the response of Job and Eliphaz. Job curses his day, the day that he was born, and he desires not to have been born at all. Then in chapter 3, verses 25 and 26, he says, "The thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. I was in safety, I was quiet, yet trouble still came." And this we discussed is the great faith movement's reason for Job's troubles and ultimately the reason for your troubles. It's their excuse for the book because they don't understand it. Yet we know that God gave permission to Satan to cause these troubles. That's the real reason. And the Hebrew text of these verses gives the idea that when calamity began to befall him, Job feared that it would continue until he had lost all. In other words, he heard about one loss and then feared that other losses would follow until he had lost all. And in trying to think of a better way to explain these two verses, due to the tremendous influence of the false faith movement, the charismatic movement, I realized that I could use an example from my own experience. In my mid-20s, my wife and I were very well off. We were doing well. And due to my commitments to the army, as with most people in the 80s in this country, I was called up to do another operation in Angola. And so we decided to go away for a weekend and then I would go and do what I had to do. And so we packed and we went to the coast. And the very next morning at 6 o'clock,